Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
The state of New York wanting to implement universal health care when nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. You have to ask, well, how did we get to this point? And all I can always, I have to keep coming back to saying, well, you elected it one way or the other. Either you've directly voted for these idiots or you didn't vote and allowed these idiots to win an election. I don't know, you know, look, I fully understand that there are people out there that are thinking, well, you know, here's the deal. There are people out there already who are very, very, very passionate about Rand Paul. And they're very, very, very passionate about Ted Cruz. And they're very, very, very passionate about another candidate. Now, only one of you, if any, is going to have your candidate as the nominee. So let me ask you, Ron Paul supporters, well, what if Ted Cruz gets the nomination? Are you just going to whine, mope, and sit at home and not vote? How does that make any sense? The same goes if it were reversed. Let's just say, you know, somehow Rand Paul gets the nod. Are all you Ted Cruz people going to sit at home and mope and complain? You know, these people don't know what's best for them. Well, you know what? It's not up to you to determine what's best for me. That's the whole point of voting. Each individual voter should be able to make up their own mind. And if, you know, you need to be able to convince me and anybody else of your choice of candidate that they're the best. And you know, let me tell you a way that you will not convince anyone. You will not convince anyone by yelling at them on Facebook or defriending them because they don't see eye to eye with you right away. Look, if you want somebody, if you're going to get your person elected, then here's what you better do. You better cut out the crap about unfriending people because they don't agree with you right now on your candidate of choice. You're guaranteeing your guy is not going to get the nod because you're turning off potential voters. That's plain and simple. I don't know how else to tell you that. And then when you do that and you have enough people sitting at home, you're going to have a President Hillary. Now, let me ask you a question one more time to all you one candidate supporters. If your candidate of choice did not get the nomination last time, obviously they didn't. How is all the hope and change of having Barack Obama elected a second time? Is that better for you, or would it have been possibly have been better, I don't know, to maybe hold your nose, bite your tongue, whatever, and voted for Romney? We might have been able to take at least one step forward instead of 15,000 steps backwards. Just saying. You know, yeah, you kind of people tick me off. And I don't care who you are. If you want to unfriend me on Facebook and unfollow me on Twitter, go right ahead because you're an idiot. You're just as bigoted of an idiot as a liberal. Because you're making no sense, because you're certainly not convincing me or anybody else to back your candidate just because you unfriend us. That's really, really childish and really, really dumb. Just saying. Hello, everyone out there, all my Fellow Americans, it is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from number that you can call this evening is toll free at 603-835-3224. That's 603-835-3224. Give me a buzz. You one candidate people. I'm not a one candidate. Now, when I say one candidate people, all you people out there that have already made up your mind that, you know, Ron Paul or Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio, they're the only ones that can be president in your eyes. They're the only, nobody else. Well, I'm going to call you out and say that you're idiots. Because what if they don't get the nomination? What are you going to do? You still got to live here. Just like the rest of us, you still have to live in the good old U.S. of A. So explain yourself on that one. You sat at home and elected Obama. And you're probably saying, well, I didn't elect Obama. Yeah, you did, because you sat your little fat, little lazy, you know, childish, whiny voice at home and allowed everybody else to vote that who voted for Obama to win. So you voted for him, in my book. Sorry. That's just the way it works. That's the way the cookie crumbles. That's the way the ball bounces. That's the reality of it. Understand it. Now watch and I get to my Facebook. Yeah, your Facebook friends have dropped by 100. Oh, well. Ron White, a very funny man, one of my favorite comedians, he says it best. You can't fix stupid. And, you know, as long as people are going to be stupid, you can't fix them. They're going to have to smarten up on their own. And that's the only way nobody else can fix stupid. Only the stupid can fix themselves. And the only way they can fix themselves is by smartening up, getting smart. So, you know, that's why he says you can't fix stupid. Scott Walker, this is a talkingpointsmemo.com. Scott Walker says, mandatory ultrasounds are just a cool thing for women. Mandatory ultrasounds are a cool thing for women. I know some people are thinking, mandatory. I thought Scott Walker was, you know, more about freedom and everything. Well, it's a very bad headline. But that's the headline. Scott Walker, mandatory ultrasounds are just a cool thing for women. But here's, as Paul Harvey would say, is the rest of the story. Potential 2016 Republican presidential candidate and Wisconsin governor Scott Walker said in an interview on Friday that mandatory ultrasounds for women hoping to get an abortion was just a cool thing. I kind of agree. Why not? You know, if you really honestly believe that, you know, that child in your womb is not actually a human being, but just a lump of flesh, of lifeless flesh, then what's the big deal about getting an ultrasound? It's just going to prove what you say. The reason why you don't want to is because you don't want to have to think about what you're doing. And I say that is the time, because there are a lot of women who have an abortion who later on really severely regret it. Yeah, I know there are some out there, but the vast majority of women get an abortion once in their life. They're not back, you know, they don't use it as continued birth control. You know, they get an abortion once in their life, maybe, because they felt that, well, you know, we weren't ready, or I made a mistake with this guy, what have you. But but then when they do it, a lot of them feel a lot of remorse and regret all the rest of their life, especially if they go on to have children after that abortion. Can you imagine the guilt that some women actually carry around with them? So If that could save them from a lifetime of guilt by actually listening to or watching the ultrasound, how is that a bad thing? How is it a bad thing being reminded that there's a human being in the womb? Honestly, I'm saying here, I'm not saying that, we should just make every single kind of abortion illegal. So what's wrong with being given the options? Because the left doesn't even want you to even bother with options. You know, there are other alternatives. They don't want you even have to hear, but, you know, yeah, keep those religious people away. You know, you don't need to listen to any of that alternative stuff. It's best if you just get rid of, the problem. You know, folks, Margaret Sanger, who's the founder of Planned Parenthood, she was all about, this eugenics movement. It wasn't called eugenics back then, but she was all about the eugenics. She was all about controlling certain undesirable population, meaning blacks, and population as a whole through means of killing unborn children. And she even pretty much said in one fashion or another, or one form or another, you know, people who consider elevating their family through by killing a family member should be proud of themselves. But she understood it way back then that an abortion was actually killing a human being. And then you have people like Obama who praise Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood. Oh yeah, they were, you know, Planned Parenthood. If you listen to them on the left, they're doing the Lord's work over there. Yeah, I don't think the Lord is out there trying to, you know, systematically eliminate African Americans. You know what I find interesting is that, you know, some African Americans that I talk to about this particular issue, as they say, well, why do we want to create more poverty? I'm like, what do you mean create more poverty? You know, actually, we're the ones creating the poverty. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. And I said, right now, we're on the decline. And their argument is, well, you know, we're getting a bigger and bigger population. So there are a lot of folks who are losing percentage wise. I said, it's not just percentage wise. Why don't you do me a favor before you try to argue a point with me? Why don't you go and start looking at the live birth rates of African Americans in this country, starting back from, let's say, 1980, going forward, and then look at the population, the actual population listed of African Americans by the Census Department. Go back to 1980, and they can see a marked decline in African Americans. Just as the marketed increase in abortions of African American babies goes up, so there's this crossing line in that now the African Americans in this country are on a negative growth rate. We're on a decline. In other words, there are going to be fewer blacks alive in 20 years than there are today. And part of the reason is that actually the truth is that in some cities and some neighborhoods, more black babies are actually aborted than are born alive. So this notion that Mr. Walker, Governor Walker, is suggesting that we force, you know, mandatory, hey, you want an abortion, why don't you have this this ultrasound first? Why don't you see your baby first before you decide to kill it? They're not saying you can't go ahead and go through. Look, if you're going to be that cold-hearted, you might as well be able to see it. If they're, well, Rod, what if there's a medical condition? Well, obviously, if there's a medical condition with the mother or the life of the mother, she's not there, especially if it's an emergency, there's not going to be any time to do that. Fully understood. But in most other cases, when there's time and the mother's just using it as a birth control method, what is wrong with reminding the mother and hopefully the biological father That they, it's, again, it's not just, I'm not just saying this should be a woman's responsibility. No, that father's responsible too. Look, it took two to make the kid. It's going to take two to raise the kid. Plain and simple. But, you know, bring the biological father in on this. Make sure that they understand this is another human being, not just something they can throw away in the trash. I have no problem with his position on this. And some people are saying, well, I thought you were all about freedom, Rod. Well, yeah, I am. And I'm also about freedom of that child being able to live. But we're taking away that child's right to live. Simply because somebody wants to use a medical procedure to eliminate that life simply because they don't want to be bothered and they want a post-sexual intercourse, you know, a contraception procedure. You know, the time to think about contraception and not getting pregnant is before you have sexual intercourse, not after. Not that child's fault that you created them. Not at all. So why are you punishing the child? I think, you know, Governor Walker has a grand idea about making people aware that other people are going to be affected by this decision. Because the left will have you believe, oh no, the only person who's going to be affected is the mother, and she is going to be fine. That's not the case. That baby's going to be affected. Maybe the father, biological father, is going to be affected. Maybe if other people around you who know that you're pregnant, you know, the grandparents, potential grand, maybe they're going to be affected. There's going to be a lot of people affected, your greater community. And who knows what that child can, you know, considering, do you think of all the babies that have been aborted since Roe v. Wade in 72? Do you think maybe one of those kids could have come up with something fantastic that the rest of us, you know, like maybe they could have been another Steve Jobs or something? I don't know. We'll never know. So we've all been affected by not having certain numbers of people be a part of our lives in our community. That's huge. It's huge. And people need to fully understand and weigh the full aspect and cost of what they're about to do. We shouldn't be making abortion easier. We should be making it so people think about it much harder and much more than we currently do. Especially if we're not going to, you know, get rid of it at all. Hey, CBSNews.com is reporting something in Texas. Yeah, everything big in Texas, right? But it's not. I don't. They're making it seem like it's a bad thing, but actually, this is a good thing. Texas, a big step closer to major gun rights expansion. And I know, I know that everybody, you know, on the left is stumbling all over themselves over this story. CBSNews.com. Austin, Texas. Texas took a giant step closer to allowing concealed handguns in college classrooms. That's right. House lawmakers gave their preliminary approval to so-called campus carry measure, barely beating a midnight deadline on Tuesday. Now, the legislation, one of two major gun rights bills of the session, had appeared destined to fail with more than 100 amendments lined up in a Democratic effort to kill it. Democrats wanted to kill it. You know, we gotta keep our gun-free zones. That's right, gun-free zones. You know, it's kind of like that that 70s, early 70s hit. You know, the street. You say, don't look, Apple. Well, you just say, carefree zone. You know, gun-free zone. We got no guns over here. So that tells the criminals, hey, yeah, let's go over here. No guns over there. Nobody's over there is going to be carrying and firing back at us if we fire at them. So, hello, let's go over there. You know, when it comes to terrorism, where do you think terrorists are going to hit? Or do you think the terrorists are really going to go and hit a fully armed military base? Or are they going to pick a college campus, maybe a large one, where nobody's allowed to have a defensive weapon on them. I don't know. You know, we may not think that, you know, terrorists are all that bright, but they're not all that stupid. Look, they took over an airplane pretty easily because they knew nobody was going to fight back. They took over a bunch of airplanes pretty easily because they knew nobody was going to fight back. Hey, look, airplanes were gun-free zones at that point in time, remember? You know, and the only thing that we could bring aboard, now it's even worse. You know, unless you got a marshal on board and unless your pilot has agreed to carry a firearm, you don't even have anybody on the plane now that has even a fingernail file to stop you. You know, but hey, we got gun-free zones. And yeah, they're safer than non-gun-free zones. Now, the Democrats abruptly dropped the amendments about 25 minutes before the deadline, and the chamber's large Republican majority forced a vote, approving the measure 101 to 47. Now, if Republicans wanted to celebrate Christmas in April, they have the vote, said Representative Trey Martinez Fisher, Democrat, who added that running out the clock was never really an option. Midnight was a deadline for the House to pass bills that originated in the Senate. Now, a final House vote on the measure Wednesday would set up negotiations with the Senate. Now, a compromise would have to be sent to Republican Governor Greg Abbott by June 1st to be signed into law. And the vote came at almost the same time the Senate Republicans majority dropped the measure in that chamber that would have protected child welfare agencies that block gays and same-sex couples from adopting children on religious grounds from lawsuits. So, you know, they give in one place and they get something else. Well, that's kind of nice, I suppose. That's compromise at work, right? That's the way, you know, politics is supposed to work, right? I'm not agreeing with them at all, but hey, I agree with them on the carry thing. Look, if we had people that were able to carry on campus, whether it be college or public school, we would have a lot less school shootings. And the school shootings that we did still have, the perpetrators would probably be stopped a lot sooner and fewer people would be injured or killed. At least they, you know, well, Rod, you can't say that. Well, I can say for certainty, at least they have the chance and opportunity to protect themselves. If they don't have a gun and the perpetrator is on campus with a gun, they don't have much of an opportunity to protect themselves. They can try to hide, but we understand that hiding often doesn't work, because they'll just bust in or shoot in a door or a window and make entry, and then there you go. And then now they're all sitting ducks. It's like a duck shooting gallery. Pow, 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 boom, boom, boom. You know, another one bites the dust type of thing. That's not what we want. Now, just throw in terrorists in the mix. And we know that we have terrorist cells in the United States. Why don't we start making it a little bit more difficult and a little bit more dangerous for them to operate? Since they're already here, let's just make it a little bit more difficult and a little bit more dangerous for them to operate. Then, if they feel that they can't successfully, you know, promote an attack, then they probably won't attack. That's just, you know, common sense. And yeah, to a certain degree, terrorists do have a little bit of warfare common sense. You can't win if you aren't able to successfully attack.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With a Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Listening to The Rod Echols Show.
Bernie Sanders. Sanders. Welcome back, folks, to the Rod Eccles Show. I'm your lovable host, L. Rod. Bernie Sanders, according to WND.com, says that women fantasize about being raped. The candidate's 1972 essay in an alternative paper surfaces. That's right. In an essay, in a 1972 essay, presidential candidate, Senator Bernie Sanders, they have him listed as a Democrat out of Vermont. He's supposed to be an independent. Opined that men fantasized about women being abused. He also claimed that women fantasize about being gang raped. In an article entitled Men and Women, published in an alternative newspaper called the Vermont Freeman, Sanders shared his thoughts on male and female sexuality in ways that would cause a media firestorm if it had been penned by the any current GOP candidate, even one with as little chance of grabbing his party nomination as Sanders currently has. Yeah, because he's not going to... he's not going to beat out, well, Hillary or whoever the new person is. If it's not Hillary, and let's hope that it is not Hillary. Really hoping that it's not Hillary. But Bernie Sanders is saying that he wrote it back in 72. So I know that was a long time ago. Well, you know what? You don't give Republicans the same type of thing, the same type of leeway, the same type of forgiveness. So I don't know why we should give your side the same type of leeway and forgiveness. Why? He says, now this is a quote from his article, a man goes home and masturbates his typical fantasy. A woman on her knees, a woman tied up, a woman abused. Now, I don't know about you, but that has not ever been one of my fantasies. But Bernie Sanders says it is, so I'm thinking maybe at one time, you know, logically speaking, maybe it was one of his fantasies. He wrote it. I'm just quoting what he wrote. So if you don't believe if you didn't think that Bernie Sanders was disgusting before, what do you think about him now? Now, Sanders didn't specify as to how he had gained such a deep understanding of the male psyche. Well, he's a male, so I guess that, and he's a liberal, so that's enough, right? Now, in terms of his understanding of female sexual fantasy, Sanders provided similar insight. A woman, he wrote, enjoys intercourse with her man as she fantasizes about being raped by three men simultaneously. Now, you're probably thinking, okay, well, that's kind of wacky. But it was 1972, Rod. It was a long time ago. Well, why don't we fast forward to today? Does Sanders still say stuff that's just as wacky, stupid, crazy, ignorant as that? Well, if the answer is yes to that, that means he hasn't changed one bit. He's still the same crackpot he's always been. He's still the same liberal, communistic idiot he's always been. Now, it doesn't take a sexologist or a sociologist or any other ologist that studies human behavior or doesn't study human behavior to understand that these types of statements are just not only highly offensive, but they should make women, especially the feminazis out there, completely and totally irate. Because, I don't know, let's just say that, for craps and giggles, let's just say that this story was not penned by Bernie Sanders. Let's say this story was penned in 1972 by George Pataki, who, by the way, jumped into the race today for president on the GOP side. So let's just say George Pataki. Now, obviously, George Pataki did not write this, and there is no evidence that he wrote anything even close to this. But let's just, for craps and giggles, let's just say that Mr. Pataki, Governor Pataki, was the writer, author of this article, not Senator Sanders. Do you think the feminazis would let him off the hook? Well, that was in 72, Ron. That was a long time ago. Do you think they would let him off by saying, well, you know, he's had a chance to mellow his viewpoints. His age tells us a different story about it. Well, really? He's still the same crackpot as you would say that George Pataki is still the same crackpot that he was back then. The same extremist. So I'm calling you out, you leftists. George Pataki didn't write this paper, this article. George Pataki did not have it published in the Vermont Freeman back in 1972. George Pataki did not express what he felt were the typical male fantasy. George Pataki did not say or write about the typical woman fantasizing about being raped by three men simultaneously while she's having intercourse with her husband or boyfriend. No, that was all Bernie Sanders. No GOP, no Republican, no right-winger, but Bernie Sanders. Nobody forced him to pen it. Nobody forced him to write it. Nobody forced him to send it to be published. That was all on him, Bernie Sanders, not the Republicans. Republicans cannot be blamed for this. They did not have anything to do with it. They did not approve it, did not look at it, did not know about it. It's all Bernie Sanders. So what say you now, you liberal leftist nut jobs? The man is a kook. He isn't too far from that stupid 1972 liberal tree. He's still there. Now, perhaps Sanders gets a pass due to his early work as a psychiatric hospital. According to the story, he was not a patient there, at least not at that particular time. Or his associations with radical hippies in the early 60s. But what is even more astounding is that the opinion piece was written after Sanders had stepped into the political fray. In 1971, Sanders launched his first bid for Senate in the first of four losing campaigns for U.S. Senate and a governor. It appears his platform hasn't changed much since then. Just as I said, well, it hasn't. He's still the same nut job. I mean, was he Burlington's mayor? Either Burlington or Vermont. He was a Vermont city mayor, and then he went on to the state legislature, and then elected as. Vermont senator, I do believe that's how he got where he's currently at and looking to be president. But let's face it, he's not going to do it. We don't know how he came. He's not elaborating on how he came about such inquisitive knowledge about the male and female sexual psyche. But evidently, he knew about it, and that's why he wrote about it way back then, back in 72. And he he's still not really changing from any of his craziness that he had way back then. Here's a Washington Times article. Judge's ruling allows concealed carry for D.C. gun owners. Shoots down police objections. A federal judge on Thursday denied a short-term stay on a decision that blocked the district from enforcing a key provision of its restrictive concealed carry laws, prompting the city to notify gun owners who had been denied a carry permit that they can now obtain one. Now, U.S. District Judge Frederick J. Scullin, Jr., left open the possibility the district could obtain a stay pending appeal of his previous ruling, which called the city's requirement that gun owners demonstrate a good reason to obtain a permit unconstitutional. He set a hearing on the matter for July 7th. Now, in the meantime, the ruling means the Metropolitan Police Department, who previously had been denied because they could not demonstrate they face a specific threat of injury or harm. Well, you don't need to. What, you gotta be mugged or raped before you have a concealed carry permit in D.C.? How about you don't need to show why you want one? It's just that it's your constitutional right to have one and to be able to carry it. And because you do not want to be mugged, and you do not want to be raped, and you do not want to be burgled or carjacked or any of that other stuff. Now, the gun owners who brought the case against the city received phone calls from the Metro Police Department on Thursday advising them to come to the department's firearm registration section for approval of their concealed carry permits. This was an announcement issued by Alan Gottlieb, vice president of the Second Amendment Foundation, which backed the lawsuit. That's a good thing. You have the right to protect yourself, and it's not up to you to have to prove to the state why you desire and feel that you need to be able to enforce and enjoy your constitutionally protected rights. Now, these are not, you know, government rights that are issued to you. These are protected this is the whole notion of what protection is. They are protected in that the government cannot infringe upon those rights. I mean, they can't really we're going to infringe on your right because, you know, we want to protect you. They can't do it. Not if they're following the Constitution, folks. Constitution forbades the government from interfering with your constitutional rights, constitutionally protected rights, your inalienable rights. One of those inalienable rights is the right to defend your life and property. Well, Ron, does that mean that you get to use deadly force in defending your property? Well, yeah, because you have the right to defend your life and property. You do. The state isn't the only one who has, you know, legal authority to protect you. You know, individual people have a right to protect themselves and their loved ones and their families and their neighborhoods and their communities. They don't need the government to wait on government. That's not the way the Constitution was set up. That's not what our founding fathers believe. The people who actually, you know, wrote and set up the country and the Constitution, they didn't believe that it was, oh yeah, government will take care of you. No. They believe that it was each individual's responsibility to take care of themselves. But we have flipped that and said, well, maybe the bigger because we have big government now, maybe it's our, you know, big government's job to take care of you, to protect you from all the bad guys out there. You know, we got one bad guy and two bad guys and three bad guys, and none of them have a carry permit. But you out there who want to protect yourself, you who wish to protect your hard-earned assets, oh, no. You have no right to protect yourself and your property. That is the job and the right of the state. Yeah. When did we decide that, you know, that you don't have a right to even just protect yourself? You got to have a good reason in order to want to protect yourself. When did that come about? You want a gun. You want a concealed carry gun. You want to be able to have this gun in your car. You have got to have a good reason. Not just any reason. It has to be a good reason for wanting this gun. And it has to be a reason that I, the chief of police, approve of. And just this notion that you want to protect yourself. Well, you've never needed to protect yourself before. So why do you think you need to protect yourself now? You will probably never, ever get mugged or raped or what have you, have a crime against you. But if you do, that is why we are here, the police department. We will come to your side, to your aid, and protect you. Well, how about you just prevent the whole thing from happening in the first place by forcing the perpetrator to flee? I think that's a better notion than sitting and waiting. Because, you know, what if, you know, they want to do you bodily harm? You know, what if they want to shoot you in the head? Well, you'll, according to one of my commercials, you'll miss your Jazzercise appointment if you get shot in the back of the head. And a criminal could do that to you. You don't want that to happen. No, you don't. You don't want to be shot in the back of the head by a criminal. But however, so in D.C., they've actually got on the phones and called all the people that they've denied because they couldn't demonstrate a specific threat of injury or harm. I mean, can you imagine being, well, no, you're totally, you know, you have no criminal record. You seem to be a fully functioning, law-abiding citizen. But, you know, we're going to put denied on your application because you could not demonstrate to me, the police department, that you face a specific threat of injury or harm. Now, I don't know how you're supposed to actually prove a specific threat or harm. Now, I don't know how you do that unless you've already been harmed in some form or fashion. How do you? Maybe somebody out there in the listening audience can help me. How do you determine, you know, a specific status or belief or fact that you face a serious threat of injury or harm? How do you do that? And wouldn't that really lead to an arrest or something of a potential perpetrator if you could do that? I mean, look, you know, this guy over here is stalking me. Okay, well, if you can prove that he is, you know, then we can arrest him. You don't need a gun, we'll arrest him. Well, that's what they're going to end up saying. If you can prove it, then you can prove that, you know, you don't need it because you just call us, the police. That's what they're thinking, folks. Don't doubt me on that. If you actually think that they're thinking, well, if you can prove something, you know, this bad, then, you know, maybe we'll allow you to have a gun. But the whole point is that if you can prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you face this threat, then they will tell you, well, why don't you just call us when you need us? You already know that the threat is there, so now you can be vigilant about it and call us when you need us. I'm telling you that's what it's all about. Not defending yourself. No, you don't need to defend yourself. Just call us. We'll be there. You know, just call on us and I'll be there type of thing. Yeah, I know. It's not exactly Michael Jackson, but anyway. Washington Times again. Former White House aides now on Team Hillary bash Obama's ISIS strategy. A think tank with ties to Hillary Clinton issued strong criticism of President Obama's counter-ISIL strategy. Earlier today, with an analyst writing that the U.S. is failing and needs to change course. We need a think tank to tell us that we're failing in Iraq? Is that the case? We need a think tank? Really? Two former Obama national security aides break with the president by urging the deployment of American ground troops to directly help the disheveled Iraqi army. One used the word failing to describe how the administration is arming the Baghdad regime. Well, Obama basically said today that, you know, well, ISIS is now the problem of Baghdad. Not our problem. What? We, you know, it is, actually. We're, you know, part of the problem of ISIS, because we pulled out of Iraq way too soon, way before Iraq was ready to stand on their own. Now, Mrs. Clinton helped launch the Center for a New American Security, CNAS, Center for a New American Security. With a keynote speech in 2007, the center is directed by Michelle Flournoy, Flournoy, the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy for Obama, who is viewed as a candidate to be the defense secretary in Hillary Clinton, in a Hillary Clinton administration. Now, CNAS issued 7 papers on Thursday on defeating the Islamic State, also known as ISIS and ISIL. And with proposals far different from the current Obama strategy, it relies on limited airstrikes and training Iraq's unproven army to do the ground combat against a growing and vicious ISIL force. Now, the analysis could be viewed as a preview of how President Clinton would change course in confronting ISIL in Iraq and Syria and globally. That's actually kind of a scary thought and note. President Hillary Clinton. President Hilarious. That's what it would be. President Hilarious. Now, CNAS's Philip Carter, who deployed to Iraq as an army officer advising the police and later became Mr. Obama's chief of his detainee policy, is calling for a significant deployment of American ground forces, an option Mr. Obama has avoided. Well, of course he's, because look, if President Obama has to send troops back into Iraq, ground troops, then it'll prove that he was wrong about leaving Iraq so soon and leaving it open the way he did. We already know he was wrong, but he will at that particular juncture admit that he was wrong when he sends troops back in there. And look, this guy is not going to, unless he is absolutely forced by an ally or Congress to do so, he is not going to freely send any ground troops into Iraq. Not even, you know, he's not even going to increase the advisory force. He wants no part of being in Iraq at all. He doesn't want to be. He doesn't think it's necessary. Well, whether he thinks it's necessary or not, he probably does know that it's necessary, but he just won't do it because it does not lead to his final conclusion of how he wants to be remembered. You know, his legacy is at stake here. The president is worried about his legacy. I'm not the one who's saying that this guy's got a, you know, well, it's him. He just wants it. Well, anyway, we are out of time for today, folks. We will be back on Monday. Best of show tomorrow. Until then, have a great weekend. I'm Rod Eccles. This has been the Rod Eccles Show.